chapter 17. Topic of the word teaching today, in him we live and move and have our being. Acts chapter 17, there's where that comes from, as you're, I'm sure you're well aware. I was thinking about the world's view of living as a Christian, or living in any religion for that matter. A lot of times the world has a what I call a view of duality. They think that there's a church life and then there's a regular life, you know, if you know what I mean. You know, so that, you know, you'll hear expressions like, well, yeah, that's fine, just keep that in the church, you know, we don't want that to be influenced in this area of life. We're talking about something more important than what you might talk about in church, right? So let's not bring those principles into this area of life. Sometimes, you know, that happens to believers as well. We might put on what we call a fellowship face, right? And we have a fellowship face, and then we have what we really are like. You know, I'm not saying that towards anybody here. I don't mean it that way. I just mean sometimes we, you know, can live that way. And that's not what... is best for us, let me put it that way. In Acts 17:16, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So he's teaching in Athens. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons and the market daily with them that met with him. And certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, both sides of the fence, Epicureans one side, Stoics the other side. Eat, drink, and be merry. That is how, you know, wax floors until your hands bleed. Kind of thing. I'm sure it's on their doctrine. But, and some said, what will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. And Paul stood in the midst of Marcel and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious, or very religious, is the actual text, right? And it was not a criticism. It was a good thing to say. You don't start speeches by being critical. You bunch of idiots. Hear me now. No, it doesn't work that way. I understand you guys are very religious. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. I found, you know, you guys are so devoted. In fact, you have an inscription of the unknown God, just to make sure you have all your bases covered. You know, commendable, so to speak. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world, and he says some great things here about God, right? God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. So he says here, God made all things. Right? And in verse 25, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needs anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath, and by the way, all things. Right? You know, let's keep reading, verse 28, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happy they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. See, for in him we live and move and have our being. He is our all in all, right? Our whole lives are engulfed by God's presence, you know. You know, sometimes people say, well, you tell them, you know, I've been praying for this been praying about this, and God answered my prayer, and I prayed for, you know, several months, and God, and they go, well, that would have happened anyway, right? Who knows it was God? Well, he just says in verse 24, he made all things, and also says in verse 25, he gives us all things, right? So where did things originate from, right? God. So if I, you know, if we're praying for something and God answers our prayer and someone, well, that would have happened anyway. Well, wait a minute. You're saying I'm not allowed to be thankful to the one that I know provides all things for me? He goes, he's giving you things too, buddy, like rain every day or when we need it. Yet you're probably not thankful to him, are you? Right? You're still getting it from him. Right? You see, our whole life is to be engulfed by God's presence. In him we live and move our being and have our being. It's not like we have a God time of our daily lives and a non-God time. He engulfs our whole life. He's our all in all, right? God, right? You know, it's hard to imagine that we would forget that. But, you know, you read record like in the Old Testament where in Jeremiah where God said, you know, he writes, my people have forgotten me days without number, right? So it is possible as a believer to live life and forget about God, right? Even though the days you forget about him, he's still blessing you. He's still taking care of you, right? And God just says, don't do that. You know, in me you live and move and have your being. Everything we do is in him. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You guys will remember this wonderful record. Verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day do, this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Jesus Christ recognized that, didn't he? He didn't forget that. That was 1,000 years later, right? And Jesus Christ still remembered that. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore shalt thou shalt keep thy commandments, the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat. See, these blessings are associated with God. I mean, he says he's going to bless them with all of this. Without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Right? And when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. You know, you'll get all these blessings. Then you're going to bless God for having given you all those things. Well, someone might say, well, the brass was in the hills anyway. That's not what the word says. Right? It's a blessing that came from him. Right? Verse 11, beware thou that thou what? Forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein. So you can eat and you can be full and you can build goodly houses, right? That all those activities can happen in life. And when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, right, that thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God, right, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Did you ever pray for something and then God answers your prayer and you forget to say thank you? Did it ever occur, you sometimes say 2 days later, I was praying for that. Thank you, Father, right? You know, you might think that it wouldn't happen, right? But here you go. Here's an example of wonderful blessings. And God says, did they forget, by the way? Because we read later, you know, you've forgotten me days without number, and they walked away and they forgot. And you would think they wouldn't. See, we're in him we live and move and have our being. Everything, all of it, every single day of our lives are engulfed by God's presence, right? That's the way we're to live. verse 14. Then heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness of manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. You see, God, again, remember that wonderful principle of learning to be thankful, where when you're in that situation and you may not feel so thankful, you go back and remember all the things that God has done for you. You know, you remember what it was like to have no God in our lives? And sometimes you may want to just say, oh yeah, I remember that. I don't want to remember that. Thank you, God. You know, and then you go back over, oh yeah, he did this for me. And then he did this for me. And he did this for me. And before you know it, you're not forgetting him anymore, right? And you're learning that, you know, we're learning that our life is in him all the time. And here, this is all God's doing. Remember this? I did this for you guys. I did this for you guys. And verse 17, and that thou say in thine heart, and here it is, right? This happens all the time. My power and the might of my hand had gotten me this wealth, right? This is right back to the lie in Genesis. Who's God? I am, of course, you know? And this is why, you know, I was telling you about this contract negotiation thing we were doing. You know, like, you know, one of my partners said, let's not forget that, you know, if we get it, right, it wasn't by our own doing. Like that's, I was really blessed. I was like, wow, thank you for saying that, because you might lose time. You might feel, oh, we were so clever in doing this and that and all that. No, it all comes from him, right? Everything comes from him. In him we live and move and have our being. Every blessing that we have, we're to thank him for it, right? Because he made all things. He gave us all things. You know what it says? Verse, even here, God said, verse 18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, right? So even if you got something by your, who's the one who gave you the power to do that? God. It's God, 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 all the way down the line. Genesis 14. Right. Genesis chapter 14. And in verse 16, and even the kids, you know, you kids grow up and they go, oh, I'm blessed to eat food and blessed to do all this. You know, we've told you, I'm sure parents tell their kids all the time, well, you know, it's not, yeah, your father works, your mother works, or, you know, we work and provide food. But who's the one who provides all in the end, right? Who should you be ultimately thankful for all this, right? God. 14:16. This is Abraham. He chased those guys, the kings, to get Lot back. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Shlomer and of the kings that were with him at the valley of Sheba, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all. And so, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abraham had done the work, he had worked hard, he had led his servants to go and bring all these guys back. So he had earned the right to take everything from those people, right? He won the battle, right? He wasn't trying to make treaties and negotiations for 100 years after winning the battle to take care of people. Right? Never mind that. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abram rich. Right? He refused to take any of it to his wealth. You think Abram lived with the knowledge that everything he did because of God's blessing in his life, right? He said, look, I'm not even going to let anybody have even the slightest notion that it's God who is the one who blesses me. That isn't going to even happen. I'm not even going to do it, right? You see, in him we live and move and have our being, right? It wasn't like, yeah, I earned this, I did a really good job, yeah, I'll take all that stuff because I. It wasn't that. He said, I'm not going to even let anybody point a finger saying it wasn't God who blessed me, right? Wow. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 24. Chapter, yeah, 24. Second Samuel 24. This is about David, as you might guess. Verse 20. And Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him, and there was an issue in the kingdom, and you know the people were getting killed and so forth. And Araunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Araunah said, "Wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people." So he wants to do this altar and, you know, give sacrifices. And Araunah said unto David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up that what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these did Araunah as a king give unto the king." And Araunah said unto the king, "The Lord thy God accept thee." And the king said unto Araunah, No, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does not that doth cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Right? You see, he wanted to live in integrity and honor before God. Remember Samuel? Samuel said, "Them that honor me will I honor," right? David wanted to honor God. He goes, "I'm not going to do this thing if it doesn't cost me anything right now," right? You think, could he have done it? He was the king. God said, "Here, take it all." You know. See, in him we live and move and have our being. He was very cognizant of God's presence and the integrity with which he was to live before his God in everything he did, not just, you know, his time in the temple, but everything that he did. Look at Psalm 51. And when I talked about his little skirmish with Bathsheba, when he came to terms because of what he had done, you know, the evil that he had done in getting Uriah killed and taking Uriah's wife. This is the psalm that talks about that in Psalm 51, verse 1. "I have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before thee. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned." That's what he said. See, yeah, he hurt Bathsheba. He hurt Uriah. We don't know about Uriah's family. His mom and dad, I don't know. They were hurt by what he had done. But who was his life ultimately lived before? Right? God. He says, "God, against thee only have I sinned." Right? You see, he had to deal with God. He wasn't like he could just deal with the physical things of life. He had to go back to God and say, "Look, Father, I'm sorry, God. Against thee only have I sinned." And he asked for forgiveness. "Done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." Quoted in Romans, right? No, and then he goes on to say, "Forgive me," and ask for forgiveness. Against thee, see, we in him we live and move our have our being. We do other things every day. Yeah, we get involved with this and that and work and all that, but all those things that we do, in him we live and move and have our being. Ultimately, our lives are lived before God. Our lives are engulfed by his presence. It's with him that we're to deal every day of our lives. Proverbs chapter 3. We're close to it. We might as well hit this on the way. The New Testament. Proverbs chapter 3. It says in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes." You see the same old thing where people want to play God and not. He goes, "No, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with the first with thy substance." Again, all thy ways, right? "And with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." You know, sometimes as believers, we I want to honor God here, and that's my God. When it comes to money, some people have a problem with money. Right? Is that true? Yeah, absolutely. So here it talks about honoring God with the first fruits of all our substance. Well, either our whole life is lived before Him, and that includes finances, includes everything, right? Ultimately, we live our life before Him. And if the Word of God says here to honor God with the first fruits of all our substance, then that's what we do. Right, it's not a matter of, well, I'm not so sure, you know, I'm not sure I want to use my fellowship face in that area. I don't want to do that. Right, you know, it's either all or not. Right, here we are before God. Didn't we just learn in Deuteronomy? It's God who gave us the power to get wealth. You know what it says? So when we tithe or give or bless people, whatever we do, it's to honor Him. Otherwise, it says we're wise in our own eyes. Right. I don't want to be wise in my own eyes, because I am not good at that at all. I guarantee you. I can give you a list of examples of where being wise in my own eyes led to not so many good things, right? But what we want to do is build a list of all the times we trusted God and we saw His blessings over and over and over again. Look at Romans chapter 6. Actually, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 first. I think that's where I'm going. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 9 first for a second. We could look at Jesus Christ, and we haven't got, you know, time would fail me to tell of all the places where Jesus Christ, didn't He live His life completely engulfed by God's presence, and in Him we live and move and have our being? Remember, at the age of 12, what did He say? Don't you know I'm about my Father's business? Yeah, but His mother and father had other things going on, and they were involved in other things, but He was like, I'm a little bit my Father's business. That's what I'm about. Right? Remember when he was hungry, he said, have you eaten yet? What did He say? He said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Right? See, He was living His life before God when they were all involved in the things that were happening. And He was like, okay, I'm kind of here. You guys are over there. I'm kind of here. Right? See, our life is lived. You know, we don't go off with our friends and say, and then we're completely different people than we are here. That's not a life of in Him we live, move, and have our being. It's what I call a Christian of convenience, right? That's not what we're to be, right? Everything we do is to be focused around what He would have us to do, how He would have us to make our business dealings, what He would have us to watch on TV, what He would not have us to watch on TV, what kind of music He would want us to listen to, what He would not want us. See, it's a whole life, right? That's our, not that we don't make mistakes and do stupid things, I understand that, but the whole goal is to live and move and have our being in Him so that whatever we're involved with, it's by His blessing and with His guidance and in fellowship with Him, right? Paul the Apostle, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, and that I might gain the Jews. So when he was with the Jewish people, he became Jewish, right? But watch what he says here. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. So he did some things involved with law to help witness to those guys who are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, verse 21. But being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. He went and did some things, like I seen on my example I always give. Or maybe he had a beer with some Gentiles, right? They didn't get drunk, right? He might have gone down to the local, I don't know, whatever Gentiles do in those days. Arcade, I don't know. Emporium. What's that?
Emporium.
The Gentile Emporium. Sounds like one of those importers where you buy rugs and things. Right? But why? That I might gain them that are weak, without law. So he did this. See, he did everything he could, but behind all the things he did, he knew that he couldn't cross a certain line, right? That was because in God we live and move and have our being. He goes, yeah, I did that, but I didn't cross any lines. Because he knew ultimately where his life was. Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but, and all this he did, all the things he could to reach people God's word, but I keep under my body, right? He was in control of what was going on, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. He didn't want to go way out in left field or way out in right field. He kind of may have played second base. Never mind, stupid analogy. Kind of down the middle, right? He didn't do things outside the bounds of where he knew he lived, and that was, in this case, you know, as a believer with Christ in him, serving God, right? He understood that. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We've done this recently, but in this section talking about the identification with Christ. Verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. New life, right? A newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. See, the old life is gone. There's a new life. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. A new life, alive unto God, identified with Jesus Christ. So now, right, now through Christ we live in God and move and have our being. We do that through all that Jesus Christ has done and our identification with him. Well, but you know, when I'm at work, it's a little different. You know, you don't understand the pressures I'm under, and I have to, you know, I have to act. No, right? It's a new life. I have the choice. I can be at work and be just like everybody else. I can do that. In fact, it's a lot easier sometimes. Yeah, it is, right? Because then you don't put yourself out, and you don't look stupid, and you don't say things that make people feel awkward or uncomfortable, right? But it's my choice. Do I recognize that in him we live and move and have our being, or do I not, right? How about with family, other members of our family? How about with our friends, right? You know, how about our prayer time? Is it just my prayer time with God and the rest of my life is just, you know, whatever time? Or is it more like George Mueller? Remember George Mueller? I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk. What does he say? I pray as I walk about, when I lie down, when I rise up, and the answers are always coming, thousands and thousands of them, right? Prayer wasn't something he did with this, you know, stovepipe thing. It was life. That was his, in him we live and move and have our being, right? It wasn't like, okay, prayer, done, next part, done, work time, play time, fellowship time. It wasn't like that. It was, you know, a whole life. How about when I'm alone, by myself, you know? What am I like? Am I a Christian of convenience, or am I a believer recognizing that God engulfs my whole life? Galatians chapter 2, a couple more verses here. Galatians chapter 2. Got to read this one. Verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. So that's done. That whole deal is done. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. A new life, a life to be lived by all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And finally, in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if ye then be risen, or since ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead. Okay, that's pretty simple. You know, it doesn't get any clearer than that. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, he is our life, that's our real life, that's it. And it's through him that we're now to live and move and have our being in God. Through all that Christ has done shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So we have the choice from this day on to live until that wonderful return, to recognize that everything we do, whether it's, you know, finances or peace or whatever, it's all down to what God has done for us. We're to live and move and have our being in Him in every aspect of our life. It's not segregation areas of our life, and we have this time, all the time, all of it, right? We're going to be together in glory with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. While we're here, let's never forget Him, you know, like Israel did, or like we do sometimes, right? But let's live every day engulfed by His presence in a constant spirit of fellowship with our Father, and the recognition that now Christ is our all in all. He is our life, and now through Christ we live in God and move and have our being, right? Let's enjoy His fellowship, His presence, all of the time, because certainly I know, and we know from the Word, that God wants to have fellowship with us all the time and to enjoy our fellowship. I don't know why sometimes, but He certainly does, and I'm thankful, right? That's where all the wonderful things we heard in the manifestations about mercy and grace and love come in, right? Very thankful, right? So in Him we live and move and have our being, and certainly thankful for that.